Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight we are going to read some firsthand paranormal experiences. These all come from the website, Your Ghost Stories. This is a place where people post their strange, otherworldly experiences. Not just ghosts, you will see, although we do have some ghosts tonight, but we also have some other strange things. So we have kind of a double theme tonight, and they probably don't really seem like they go together. I will explain at the end why I have these two themes, but they are Shropshire, England, and doppelgangers. They may not go together necessarily, but what's fun is that the file name, the working file name I used when making this episode was, because of this, it was called Shropdop. Isn't that kind of fun? So, Shropshire, England, and doppelgangers. Doppelganger is a subject I'm revisiting. I have an old episode I made just dedicated to doppelgangers. Shropshire, England just has so many legends and stories. It's a fascinating place when it comes to folklore and the paranormal. So, I'm going to read some stories, and in between stories, I'll go into any relevant folklore, especially with those Shropshire stories. And then I'm also going to read any comments that stand out to me, that are interesting, that provoke some fascinating thoughts and concepts. And then I'll give some of my thoughts as well. So, if that sounds good to you, let's go ahead and get started. This story took place in Shropshire, England, and it's called White Eyes. Before I begin writing about what I experienced, I feel it is important to explain a few things. My experience happened when I was fairly young, so while I am certain it happened, there are still details I am blurry about. I am unsure of my exact age at the time. However, I believe I would have been between 8 and 10 years old. My friend Gareth was having a party at his grandparents' house near where I live. I do not remember what the party was for, but I do know that there were a lot of people there, and all brought their kids. In total, there were around 15 of us children. His grandparents live in a large manor house with a fairly large area of land, most of which is woodland. Years later, we discovered that this house is apparently extremely haunted and believed to be cursed, including the grounds just outside of the house. However, this is irrelevant to the story. I feel as though what we experienced had nothing to do with spirits or whatever, and I myself am very skeptical about the whole curse thing. Sometime late in the afternoon, while we were swimming in the pool, my friend Gareth began claiming he had seen something at the tree line. Being young kids, we were not overly worried and were actually more curious. So we got out to go see what it was. When we reached the trees, we saw nothing. For the next hour or so, my friend kept claiming to see a black figure hunched in the woods, and again, we found nothing. I have always been a natural leader, so seeing that he was starting to become worried and being very ignorant in my youth, I gathered up the other children and told them that we saw something in the woods and it was our job to keep everyone safe, so we should arm ourselves with sticks and rocks and look for it. At this point, Rob, the eldest of us all by 2 years, asked what we were looking for. We told him nothing, as I wanted to make sure that my friend wasn't lying. If it really was out there, they would see it, and I would compare the description. Every child was in the woods looking in groups, myself and Gareth being the only one to go in a group of two. I don't remember how long we looked, but I believe it was a very short amount of time. We saw a large black creature run past. I remember it wasn't close, but it was close enough for both of us to say that we had seen a large black creature without the slightest bit of doubt. We returned to the tree line near the pool when we were approached by my friend Rob. I remember the terror in his face when he said that the others had seen something and that we had to come fast. We walked with him just inside the woodland where all the others were hiding in an old ruined pig pen. I asked what they saw, and a few of the younger children said they had been walking deeper into the woodland, and when they looked ahead, a large black dog ran away. Everyone looked terrified, and this is when I got worried. To this day, I do not know why I was so calm about it. It did not scare me. It made me angry that it was here. It's important to explain that in my area of Shropshire, there's a huge black cat that roams the lands. So many people have seen it. It's not even a legend or myth. It's pretty much confirmed it exists, and is believed to be a jungle cat of some kind. Look it up if you're interested. It's easy to find. Believing that it was the large black cat most people had seen in the area, and fearing for the others, I took Gareth and Rob aside and told them we should send the others into the house and search the woods alone. I believe we had told the adults about what we had seen, but as far as I remember, they had blown it off, and it was therefore our job to find this thing and kill it. To this day, I wish I could have gone back in time and slapped myself for suggesting something so stupid. So off we went in the direction the others had seen it go. Deeper into the woods, we found a clearing. The ground was dead beyond the trees. Aside from the occasional clump of long grass, you could feel there was something wrong with the place. Although as I write this, I think it may have been the feeling of being watched, which we were. We stood there looking around, and I don't remember who called attention to it, but on the far side of the clearing, on the tree line, sat a huge black dog. Gareth ran immediately, leaving myself and Rob staring at it in disbelief. Shortly after, he ran too, leaving me behind. Though, I don't know if it was because I was not scared, or so scared, that I could not move. It was roughly twice the size of a Labrador, hunched with large white teeth. The thing that truly scares me is that I remember what it looked like very clearly, except the eyes. It had large, perfectly round white eyes. The reason this is so scary to me is because I swear that this is not how they looked. I asked Gareth and Rob earlier this month what they remember of how it looked, and neither could recall how the eyes looked. I turned and ran. I found the other two not far from the clearing. They had waited for me. We walked back in silence, and I don't remember why, but either Rob vanished, or me and Gareth went back in, or maybe we went a different way. I'm not sure. This was the last time we saw it, I believe. However, I may be wrong because we only remembered this last part a short while ago. While we were alone, walking back, it was sitting in our pathway. I have no real memory of what happened. I only remember it sitting there, staring at us, with its massive white eyes. The name I have now given it, not knowing what the hell it was. It didn't move, it just sat there, baring its huge teeth. Then I remember going home. We did not speak of that day again until sometime last year when my friend brought up the time we saw the jungle cat. I saw it in his face as he said it, that he remembered that it wasn't a cat, and it all came flooding back to both of us. Stories like these can be blown out of proportion, especially as we were children. So I asked him questions about that day, knowing my own answer to see if they were similar. Most of them were. The eyes are what I remember most, and what worried me was when he described the creature, he did not describe the eyes, so I asked him about them. He couldn't remember them, no matter how hard he tried. As I said earlier, all I see are two white discs, and at the back of my mind, I know that's wrong. There was one thing I missed out of the story, as I'm not convinced this happened at all, but when we saw it last, I swear it spoke. I have no memory of it or anything. But I just feel like the words are at the back of my mind, and I can't recall them. I'm not looking for recognition for this story. To be honest, I'm so paranoid about it, I'm worried if I talk about it too much, it will come back or something. So if anyone knows anything about it, or has any questions or whatever, I'd like to hear it, as all I want to know is, what the hell did I see? Whether you believe me or not is up to you. And to be honest, I don't think I would 100% believe the story if I heard it from someone. But just know that information is the only reason I've put this up here, hoping someone may have heard of or know what it is. Such a good story. Beautifully told, atmospheric, and with those weird details that really make for the most interesting accounts, to me at least. Details such as the OP thinking that the image they have in their memory of the dog's eyes is not correct, and that everyone else had trouble recalling the eyes of this beast. And then that last bit about how they are sure that the dog spoke, although they can't remember what it said, and can't even really remember it happening. They just know that it happened. I love that. Shropshire is a place just thick with legends and stories. So much so that there are multiple occurrences of large black cats and black dogs. Let's start with the black cats. The story referenced the basically established fact that their area of Shropshire had a quote-unquote jungle cat roaming around it. This is a super common thing across the UK, known as alien big cats, or ABCs, or sometimes called phantom cats. Basically, it's sightings of large felines like black panthers, pumas, lions, animals that are definitely not native to Britain. The reason for this is usually alleged that they are escaped or released exotic pets or zoo animals. However, there are so many sightings and such little evidence outside of super blurry camera footage and the mutilated remains of sheep that some people do claim the big cats to be of a supernatural or even extraterrestrial nature. Generally, the term alien black cat just means that it's an alien species to that area. But some people do take the alien thing to the next level because there are sometimes correlations with UFO sightings, or just maybe there'll be a UFO sighting in the same area where there's an alien black cat sighting, a large black cat sighting. So there are examples of sightings of big black cats all across the county of Shropshire, even in more densely populated urban areas like Telford. There are a couple of instances of footage captured of these big cats. This 1999 CCTV footage definitely shows a black cat, but it's hard to say if it's a big black cat. However, this footage from 2008 is a little more convincing, and to me, definitely looks, at first glance at least, like a larger black cat. But again, it's blurry and it's hard to get a sense of the size and scale of the animal and the surroundings. There was an actual body recovered near Ludlow in 1989 of an quote-unquote Asian jungle cat that was apparently identified by the Ludlow Museum and then stuffed and kept in a glass case by English author, zoologist, and cryptozoologist Dr. Carl Schuker, who has actually written books on the subject. However, no photo exists that I could find of this stuffed specimen, unfortunately. Sightings of these black cats continue in Shropshire to this day, and stories of black dogs are just as abundant, but are more firmly planted in the supernatural. Black dogs are a common ghostly being in the UK, known by a variety of regional names such as the Black Shuck, the Churchgrim, the Barguest, the Geatrosh, Hellhounds. I know that they're often ill omens, but the ones in Shropshire seem to be particularly associated with violence or tragic deaths. One headless black dog is seen on a road outside Yeaton that's said to be the site of a murder. In the village of Broomfield, a former suicide victim is rumored to return as a large black dog. And the town of Church Stretton has a large black dog with red glowing eyes, who is rumored to be none other than Wild Edric, a former Shropshire lord during the time of the Norman Conquest, who has achieved a legendary folk hero status. Not only does he appear as a red-eyed hound, he also haunts lead mines and rides the wild hunt with his fairy wife. Very cool. Lastly, I found this comment on one of the articles about the ghostly black dogs of England to be very intriguing. This article is from the website Modern Farmer, and a comment from Fee Parkey says, quote, "There's a similar legend in Shropshire. This is what I was told. It's called the Shrike, or the Skrike, depending on who is telling the story. It's always silent. There's no growling and no noise other than the padding of giant paws. The only thing you will see is the flash of its eyes. You'll know it's there by its breath and the pricking of the hair on your neck. If you ever see its eyes, it's a portent of death. It could brush past you on a path. It could run past you in an alleyway. If you see its eyes, you will only live long enough to say you've seen it. That's what I was told. End quote. That reminds me, I forgot that I think Padfoot is another name given to these black dogs in some places, which of course J.K. Rowling used in the Harry Potter series. So in that comments, I couldn't find the Shrike or the Skrike. When it comes to a black dog, I think it might be a species of bird. But the emphasis on the eyes in this comment really makes me think of the story we read. Luckily, there didn't seem to be any deaths associated with that sighting. Let's read another Shropshire story. This one was submitted by Miss Fitzdahl, and it's called Ghost Chase. All this happened a few years ago when my father and I were driving through the countryside in Shropshire late one night in December. I hardly know how to put this story, as it was such a strange experience, so please bear with me on this. It was around 1 a.m, maybe 1:30. We were driving through Bridgnorth in Shropshire. My dad and I had come up from London to visit a few relatives that lived way out in the open countryside. I was quite sleepy as it was so late, but I stayed awake to keep Dad company. So my dad was only driving around 20 miles per hour as the lanes were very tight. I looked out the window on my passenger side, and I saw a woman in a long white nightie running very fast across the field. I watched her for a few seconds, then something behind her caught my eye. A man in a cloak and top hat was running after her. I could hear the woman crying and shouting to get away. I rubbed my eyes, and again, I could see the man in a black cloak and top hat running after her. I turned around to my dad and told him to stop the car. I jumped out of the car and ran to the gate of the field, but they were both gone. The screams and crying had stopped, and it was dead silence. I rushed back in the car and told my dad to drive around the field so I could find her and see if she was okay, but there was nothing. I told my dad what I had seen, but he said he didn't see anything as he was keeping his eyes on the road. We must have drove around at least 3 or 4 times, but I couldn't find her. Within 3 seconds, she and the black figure that was chasing her had disappeared from the field. Can anybody give me some understanding of this? First of all, the OP, who gives her name as Penny, insists that while she mentioned she was sleepy, she was very much awake during this experience. Now, like alien black cats and black dogs, Shropshire also has its share of white ladies, or ghostly women seen wearing white gowns. What is fascinating, though, is that this exact location where Penny described her experience taking place is known for having a very specific white lady story. Muckley Cross, which is very near Bridgnorth, where Penny said she and her father were driving through, is said to be haunted. Or, rather, the road between Bridgnorth and Muckley Cross is said to be haunted by a woman called Mary Way, who was said to be murdered on the site. Not only murdered, but brutally assaulted and beheaded. So, her apparition is often said to be headless and wearing a shimmering white dress. All-star Shropshire folklorist and historian Amy Boucher looked into the legend of Mary Way and found that she was unable to locate any historical verification of this crime taking place. So while hard documentation is lacking to confirm whether the story is true, the details of this established legend oddly rings true to the experience Penny had. In the story of Mary Way, it's said that her killer, or killers, were apprehended and hung, and an entry on the paranormal database says that a murderer is said to be buried at a crossroads on this stretch of road, as murders and criminals so often were. So, whether you think that the buried murderer is, in fact, Mary's killer, Or you go with the version that Mary's killer was hung. Either way, he's dead. Which would, of course, make him a ghost. Also, the passage of time, I suppose. Anyway, possibly he's the ghost that was seen chasing the young woman across the road that night when Penny and her father were driving. Although it's horribly sad to think of Mary or any other person trapped in these traumatic last moments of their life to be played out again and again. However, if you go with the sort of stone tape theory of residual hauntings, this could just be sort of a psychic echo replaying again and again due to the powerful emotional nature of the event, and no actual intelligent, conscious energy is present there. Either way, super interesting that Penny seemed to see this legend play out with no knowledge of its existence, at least none that she mentioned. As you can see, Shropshire has so much to offer by way of legends, hauntings, and modern-day encounters. Could just keep going and going on Shropshire stories. But now I think we're going to switch over to the doppelganger stories. So, this one was posted by Thor220 and took place in North Dakota. It's called My Cousin's Doppelganger. Some years ago, when I was roughly 9 or 10 years old, I'm 28 now, my family and I were visiting relatives for Thanksgiving at their home, about 2 hours from where we lived. We had been to their house many times in the past, and I never had any sort of paranormal experiences before. There were quite a few relatives staying at their house that weekend, so my cousin, who was 2 years older than me, and myself were staying in an extra bedroom in the basement that had a couple of beds in it. We went to sleep, and I woke up at some time in the middle of the night for no reason at all. I sat up and was looking around the room, and I noticed a small amount of green light coming into the bedroom from under the closet door across the room. I hadn't noticed any light there before when we were going to bed, but it didn't really concern me much at the time. I rolled back over and tried to go back to sleep. After a few minutes of trying to fall asleep, I suddenly got a feeling that someone was watching me, or that someone was standing close by. I rolled onto my back and opened my eyes and saw a figure standing over me. At first, I just saw a shape, but as my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I realized it looked exactly like my cousin. It sort of annoyed me, so I asked him what he wanted, but he didn't say anything or even move, just continued to stand there and stare at me with a blank expression. At that point, I got very angry and yelled at him, "What do you want?" and attempted to push him away from me, but my hands passed straight through him. At the same time, I heard my cousin grunt and move in his bed across the room, so I looked over and saw him still in bed. I looked back to where the figure was standing, and it was gone. Some people say they can feel the presence and feel like the spirit is sad, angry, but I didn't feel any of that. The only thing I felt was terror. I honestly don't know if it wanted to hurt me or anything like that. Needless to say, I didn't get much sleep the rest of the night. When morning came, I told my cousin about it, and he said he has seen and heard strange things in the house before, but nothing like that. I told my aunt and uncle about what I saw the next morning, and they didn't really say anything. They basically just shrugged it off. But what was strange is they didn't say that I was imagining things or anything either. They just changed the subject and pretended I didn't say anything. About a year later, my aunt and uncle moved to a different town, and that house was demolished. In the years since then, my cousin has told me about many paranormal encounters he has had, and it makes me wonder if there is some kind of spirit that is attached to him. Alright, so I'm gonna jump right into the comments of this story here. Tweed asks Thor, the OP, if they could, quote, describe the exact color and shade of the green and any feeling associated with this green, end quotes. They say they have a particular interest in green because of childhood experiences they had relating to that color. And I appreciate this question because I, too, have a specific interest in the color green in paranormal experiences. I don't know, maybe it's just confirmation bias, but I feel like the color green comes up a lot, whether it's a green light or a green mist or a green being. So Thor replies, quote, "The shade of green was a very bright, almost neon green color. I wouldn't say I had any specific feeling when I saw the green color, but I was just kind of zoned in on it and kept staring at it. Several people suggest that their cousin may have actually been astral projecting since they were asleep at the time, and maybe this doppelganger was their astral body. One comment even points out that Thor's cousin grunted at the same time as Thor pushed his hands through what appeared to be his cousin's body or his astral body." All that is very interesting to consider. How the green light plays in, I have no idea. Very interesting, though. I do love the imagery of the neon green lights coming from under the door of the closet. But yes, what the correlation or what the significance of it is in this story, I don't know. Okay, so our next one was submitted by Looper Nikes and took place in the UK. It's called My Doppelganger. "Ever since I can remember, I had encounters with a spirit which only I ever saw or detected. Later on, that changed, but I'll break it down into periods of time so as to help it make sense. From age 6 to 9, I used to, once a week on a Friday night, encounter the image of a little boy, my age and roughly my size at the time, who would sit on my bed and try to tell me something. Only, I could never be sure of what he was saying, as it was fragmented, as if he were a badly tuned TV or radio station. Thus, I could catch only snatched or mangled words. Also, he was made of static, or interference. I could see his basic shape, but no details or facial features. But he moved and gestured, and was fully three-dimensional. I once or twice saw the actual ghost, I think, of the same boy run past the foot of the stairs at night, but again, I never saw his face. From age 10 to 12, I would encounter other examples of the same spirit on the street during daylight, just a flicker out of the corner of my eye, dressed like me and almost resembling me. From age 15 onward, people in a number of locations swore that they saw me or spoke to me in a place where either I had never been or when I was somewhere else, miles away at the time. In Barcelona, Spain, in 1997, aged 21, I was with my then-girlfriend on the metro, and she suddenly grabbed my arm and, unable to speak, directed me to look at a guy at the end of the carriage in front of us. We were at the window at the far end of our carriage. He was at the same at the back end of his. I looked, and for some reason, could not see his face, but she swore he was my twin. I could see he was dressed like me and had the same build as I did, but not his face. In Coventry, England, on 3 separate occasions by 3 separate people over 5 years, the same guy, or spirit, was seen by different people who knew me very well. He even reacted to my name being called once, called out to and waved to an ex's mother by name, and to the ex herself, then later disappeared on one occasion. He got me into trouble once or twice as he turned up in locations I was not and got me accused of either lying or ignoring people. Each time I was somewhere fairly far away, nowhere near the location he was seen. I have never seen him myself, but starting this period, off and on to the present, I had a series of dreams where I would meet with and converse with someone within a group of characters. But upon waking, I would remember the entire dream, except the name, face, and whole conversation. Every other detail and conversation I had with anyone else in the dream, I could remember with crystal clarity. The whole thing is that my double has been seen by a lot of people who knew me both extremely well and intimately, who resembled me exactly in hairstyle, dress, facial hair, sometimes speech, and mannerisms, and, on at least one occasion, seemed to know people I knew, but I have never seen him myself. Any occasion I may have encountered him, I've either completely forgotten it, with obvious memory holes and gaps, or been unable to see his face, almost as if I am not supposed to recognize or see him. I have been told a number of feasible ideas. He's my doppelganger, my lost twin, or, and this is the interesting one, something which happened at my birth. I almost died at birth. That a part of my soul was broken off and has now somehow developed an independent existence of its own. Hence, I cannot see this him, because he is, in fact, me, a copy of my own soul. So, just as science fiction would have us believe that you cannot see your past self, maybe you cannot see your own soul shard, if we believe that a soul is like an earthworm. If you chop it in half, you get two halves, which grow into two independent individuals. Am I seeing, or not seeing really, my doppelganger, or a part of my very own self? Very interesting story. Couple of things I want to touch on. First, our OP said that when they began seeing this, whatever it is, it appeared as a staticky form. And it seems like they described that it sounded kind of like a staticky radio, or I even thought of those spirit boxes that people use that scan radio frequencies and just pull out random words here and there. These kind of staticky figures that are almost like shadow people, but instead of shadow people, they're that static TV snow texture. This is something that comes up, I don't know if it's common, but it's definitely a shared experience that people have had. However, it seems to flesh out as he gets older, and it's mostly seen at that point by other people as his double, a striking double, so much so that people mistake it for him. And on the occasions when he sees this person, he's never able to see their face. So in the end, they seem to be most drawn to the idea that this is maybe a splintering of their own self because of some traumatic circumstances they had during their birth. They said they almost died, so I don't know the details, but I can only imagine if you lose consciousness or vital life signs and then you're resuscitated, could that create two yous in the circumstance of it happening at birth? As an adult, if you have some sort of near-death experience or something like that, you're a fully formed person, so maybe it's less likely to happen. It's a little hard for me to wrap my head around, but I like how abstract it is. But it seems to resonate with the OP. There's something very unsettling about your double. Someone seeing you in another place where you aren't are, maybe even interacting with you, and that's not you, definitely boggles the mind. So before we finish up, I would just like to explain briefly why I chose these two topics for the night, Shropshire and Doppelgangers. Doppelgangers, it's something I've visited before. I made a video back a couple years ago at this point, I think, just talking about doppelgangers and reading doppelganger stories. So after that episode, I started collecting what I call leftovers. I make lists while I'm making any episode, and if there's either kind of a spillover of information or stories that I liked but I didn't have time for or just didn't quite make the mark, I save them and put them on my leftovers list. And I've now put out some of these leftovers episodes that I've made. I've made a playlist for them. There's only a couple so far. But anyway, I did record a doppelganger's leftovers, and I actually put it aside for a rainy day so that if I got sick or something and then I wasn't able to make a new video, but I still like to keep up my schedule of every other week uploads, then I would still have something. So I made this doppelganger's leftover, set it aside. Well, Luckily, I never got sick or anything. I never needed it. So, I've just kind of had that archived. Also, a couple years back now, I had made a full video about Shropshire and some very interesting legends and stories that I found. I did the same thing. I made it and saved it in case I would need it for a rainy day. And now enough time has gone by that I don't know. It just, my stylistic narration voice has changed. My recording quality, I think, has improved a little bit. So I don't think I'm going to put it out on my main channel. Same with the doppelganger leftovers. So I went ahead and made a Patreon page. And I have this doppelganger leftovers. I have this Shropshire video. I also put leftovers I made of Levitation, Children in Levitation, and Harbingers of Death. So they're all fairly short, 20 to 40 minutes, mostly audio except for the Shropshire video. And I put them on my Patreon. They're all free. It's entirely free. Everything that's on there right now, those four things. If you want a little extra content, go check them out. I can't say if everything will be free in the future. And I also can't guarantee any kind of consistent upload schedule there. We'll just kind of see how it goes, but it exists now. There's a couple of extra things there for now. And I guess watch that space if you want extra content. So, I hope you enjoyed everything we went over today. We are going to wrap it up for now, but I will be back very soon with more stories. So, until next time, take care and good night.